To welcome to this microphone, Pastor John Dumia, to come and minister the word of the Lord. Amen. And I hope that your hearts are ready, they are prepared, and to receive the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Make him welcome.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Bwana asifiwe. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you joyful this morning? Yeah, this is just a day with a difference. God is visiting us in a mighty way. I just felt, as Pastor was leading the worship this morning, that God was ministering to me personally in my heart, and I was feeling the presence of God in this place. Sometimes God just comes, he comes in just a mysterious way, in a way that we do not understand. But God is really interested in us, and he cares that we have come to worship even this morning. So I just want to thank God for this day that he has enabled us again to gather in the house of the Lord, and even to have this moment with him. And I want to bring greetings from my wife. She has not been here for the last about 2 or 3 weeks. We are having a family event, and so she has been fellowshipping in my son's church, because immediately after the service they meet in a committee to talk about the event on Saturday. So, but she sent greetings to you. I just want to thank God for this day, because when I knew that I was going to speak the word of God to today, I seek the Lord, and I really wanted to this word, first of all, to be a blessing to me personally, because I felt that God was ministering to me throughout the week concerning his presence in our lives. And I want us to turn with me to the book of Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1, if you can. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. The book of Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. So Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. In verse 12, now then choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot on the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Chapter 4 and verse 18. Chapter 4 and verse 18. And the priests came up out of the river carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran as a flood stage as before. And I want to use for a subject, God's presence in our lives. Amen. God's presence in our lives. And even as I was thinking about tomorrow's holiday, the Independence Day for America, I was thinking, the other day we went to visit where they make money in America. And it's in Fort Worth. It's my first time I saw where the dollars are made. And they take you through the tour and you see that. But when we entered just the big office, one of the things that struck me was the inscription, "In God we trust." When I looked at that, I said, oh, this is the emblem of this nation. In God we trust. And when you invoke the word of God in anything, it's not going to be the same again. It will never be the same again. And so even as I was thinking about tomorrow's holiday, I was thinking about independence. The celebrations that are going to be there tomorrow will only have value, will only have the real essence of it if God is in the midst of it. Nations of this world, a nation that shall be elevated and lifted up, is that nation which fears the Lord. It is only in God where we find our position, where we find our identity, where we find our destiny. It's only in God that we find breakthrough. It's only in God's presence where we can now say, we are going to make it. We are going to make it. The reason why Joseph was so successful is not because he was a very handsome, young, good boy, disciplined. No. The Bible says, and God was with Joseph. And God in prison. And God was with Joseph. In Potiphar's house. And God was with Joseph. And even when he went to the prison, and God was with Joseph. So that means when God is present, everything is going to be all right. Now that's what I hear people say here. Everything is going to be all right. And in the Old Testament, we see that God was so good that he provided a symbol to the children of Israel for them to know that he was very there, he was very much there in whatever they did, in wherever they went to. He gave them a symbol of his presence. And the symbol of his presence was the Ark of the Covenant. Wherever that Ark was, signified and symbolized God's presence. Now this Ark was just a box. It was just a box, a wooden box. If you read the book of Numbers or you read the book of Exodus, you can see how it was made. But it was a box, and we will see what was contained in that box. But any time the priests carried this box, it signified God's presence. This is the one. Look at it. It's a golden box. And it had handles where the priests could carry. And any time this box was in the midst of the Israelites, there was breakthrough. This particular time, the children of Israel were going to conquer the land of Israel. After Moses had died, now Joshua was taking the children of Israel to possess the promised land. And when they went, they met a river, the huge river of Jordan. They couldn't cross it. But God told Joshua, choose the priests, 12 of them, and let them carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and let them go near the river. And when the 12, when they shall carry that Ark, and they step their feet at the bank of the river, the river will obey. It will stop from the upstream, and there will be a way that will be formed for you to pass. And that is exactly what happened. There was a way in the Jordan. A way was paved, and the children of Israel passed through when the priest came with the Ark of the Covenant. That means that the Ark of the Covenant signified God's presence in that place, and God performed a miracle. When God's presence is in your life, miracles gonna take place. When God is present in your house, breakthroughs are going to happen. When God's presence is in your place of work, things will have to be different, because God's presence signifies great things that happen. Now, even when they crossed and they went, they met now a huge city called Jericho. And this they could not penetrate. And there were a small number of people. If you look at chapter 6, just go ahead. In chapter 6 of the same book, Joshua, the Bible tells us, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with this king and the infighting man. Then the Bible tells me in verse 6. So Joshua son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. And order the army, advance, march round the city with an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. You see, God tells Joshua, now this city, it's secured. You cannot go in. And there is no way you're going to penetrate into the walls of this city unless my presence goes with you. So take the ark of the covenant and the priests. And the priests must have the trumpets. And so he instructed them. If you read the whole chapter, it says they went around the city 7 times in a day. Every day they go around. This time there is no blowing of the trumpet, but the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was always going round with the priests. And then that's the first day. The second day, they carried the ark again. They went round. The last day, they blew the trumpets and carried the Ark of the Covenant. And then they went 7 times. And the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. I like that film, you know. It shows how the walls broke. They did not break because they were powerful, they were mighty. They broke because the presence of God was going with the children of Israel. Amen. And you know what? Even the enemies discovered. The enemies of Israel discovered whenever the Ark of the Covenant was present, we can never defeat these guys. They discovered that victory always came when the Ark of the Covenant was in the Israelites' camp. And the enemies of Israel were the Philistines. So one time they said, I think what we're going to do in 1 Samuel chapter 4, what we're going to do is we will see how we can capture the ark. Once we get it, these guys will be done. The Bible says in chapter 4 verse 1 of 1 Samuel, now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines, and the Israelites camped at Ebenezer and the Philistines at Aphek. The Philistines deployed their forces to meet the Israelites, and the battle spread. Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men on the battlefield. When the soldiers returned to the camp, the elders of Israel asked, why did the Lord bring defeat on us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Lord covenant from Shiloh so that he may go with us and save us from the hands of the enemies. They had left the Ark and they went to fight without the Ark, the symbol of victory. And they were beaten by the Philistines. In fact, they were so much beaten that eventually in verse 21, actually in verse 17 of 2 Samuel chapter 4, the man who brought the news replied, Israel fled before the Philistines and the army has suffered heavy losses. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. The ark of God has been captured. So they captured the ark. The Philistines captured the ark. And when he mentioned the ark of God, Eli just fell and died. Because this was the power of God. In verse 21, the Bible says, she named the boy Ichabod. Phinehas, the wife of Phinehas was pregnant, and then she gave birth to a boy called Ichabod. He named him Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel because of the capture of the ark of God and the deaths of the father-in-law of her husband. She said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. So once the ark was captured and taken away from the Israelites, there was no more glory, there was no more victory, there was no more celebration. Everything was like, you know, everything went wrong in the Israelite camp. And the Philistines decided, we are taking this ark. It looks like there are some gods inside that ark. You see that ark there? They said, there are some gods inside. And those gods are more stronger than ours. That's what they said according to their own interpretation. So what did they do? In chapter 5, after the Philistines had captured the ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Now Ebenezer means, you know, you remember what Samuel said about Ebenezer? This far the Lord has brought us. That's the meaning of Ebenezer. This far the Lord has brought us. Now they took away the ark from this far the Lord has brought us and took it to their God's temple. Their God was called Dagon, the God of the Philistines. Yani Mungu. Yao. A big, huge kind of sculpture that was made and they worshipped it. In chapter 5, they carried the ark into the Dagon's temple and set it before Dagon. Now, you can imagine the ark. Can you give us the picture of the ark again, Mr. Lorraine? That box which contained the covenant. Now, this, imagine this is the huge Dagon. And then they brought the ark and put it next to their God. So what did that mean? Additional power to their God. Additional power. Now they are going to be more stronger. Alright, that's good. They put it next to Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on his face. The whole God was down on his face. They have never seen that before. Then the Bible says they took Dagon and put him back in place. So their God now has to be lifted. Pigwa Jack. I think they called those guys. What do you call them? Those who carry, you know. Great lifters. Back our God. Oh God, don't fall again. They put him in place. Verse 4. But the following morning, when they rose, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. Before the ark of the Lord, his head and the hands had been broken off. Now this time is severe. The head, Wisha. The hands, Wisha. Now the whole thing is just. Man, this one was serious. They said, they were lying in the threshold. Only his body remained. That is why, to this day, neither the priests of Dagon nor any other who enter Dagon's temple at Ashdod step on the threshold. They don't step there because they feel maybe if I reach there, my head will also be chopped off. The Lord's hand was heavy on the people of Ashdod and its vicinity, and he brought devastation on them and afflicted them with tumors. In fact, they suffered. Everybody suffered. They had tumors. Everybody got sick. The ark of God of Israel, they said, must be put away. We are going to die, all of us. The ark of the covenant was symbolizing the presence of God in the Philistine camp. And you know what? Eventually, they had to return the ark to its owners with a lot of gifts to try and, you know, to try and cool down the whole thing. Anyway, that is what it was. The ark of the covenant signified the very presence of God. Brethren, this morning, as we look back in the Old Testament to see how God moved with his people, it is significant for us to know that even today, we need God in our lives. We need God to move with us and to walk with us. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Let's see how this relates to us. How does this message of the covenant relate to us this morning? Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. In its first room were the lampstand and the table with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place. Then verse 4 now. Which had the golden altar of incense and the gold covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. You see this box? Again, Lorraine, give us the box. Inside this box were three things contained inside. Let us see what was contained in the box that made this box different from all other gods. Remember, it does not mean that God lived in that box. All he did was to put some symbols that signified his presence. But what was in this box? Three things. One, there was a golden bowl, bakuli, with manna, with the bread of manna in it. That was the first item that was in this house. Thank you, Sister Lorraine. Number two, there was a rod. There was a rod. That rod used to be as tall as this one, but it had, have you ever seen this priest who normally carry that thing, which is like this? It's the shepherd's rod. It's normally tall like that. That rod or that staff was laid inside that box. And you know what? The rod had budded. It had buds, leaves, and flowers. And it had fruits. Remember, this rod was a dry stick. But this one, the one that was inside the ark, it was Aaron's rod. Aaron was the highest priest, the one who Moses, the companion of Moses, the person who helped Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, he had a rod, but his rod was different from the others. The other ones were dry wood. But this one, it had flowers, leaves, flowers, and fruits. Have you ever seen a stick like that one, like a rod? Yani fimbo, yani bokora, ikona matawi, and it's a dry one. That's what was in there in that book. And then the other thing was, which was contained, two tablets of the covenant that God made with the children of Israel. The two tablets. Those were the three items that were in that box. And those items signified the very presence of God in the nation of Israel. Because the bread of manna was the bread that came from heaven. Simunakumbuka. When the children of Israel cried, they were in the desert. What did God do? He opened the bakery. The bakery of heaven. The bakery of heaven. And there was bread coming down from heaven. They wake up in the morning. Manna. That bread, I'm told, the Bible says it was sweet and it was made of olive oil. Wacha ile mandazi tunaundanga hapa. That thing was sweet, man, and it was balanced diet. You didn't need to eat anything else. You eat the manna, you are done. They picked it every morning. And you know the children of Israel, they were told every morning, fresh bread. Fresh bread every morning. But you know what they did? When they saw there was bread, they did not believe tomorrow is going to be bread. They kept the bread in the store. They kept it in the stores. In the morning, they come up in the morning, spoiled, a lot of worms coming out of the bread. That's what we do also. We don't trust that God is Jehovah Jireh. He's able to provide today, and he's able to provide tomorrow, and even the day after tomorrow. All right. The manna. But look here now. We don't need this. We don't need these symbols any longer. Do we? We don't need these symbols. You know what God has done? He has made it even better than the ark. Inside the ark was the bread. Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Let's look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse. John chapter 6 and verse 47. John chapter 6 and verse 47. Okay, thank you, Sister Lorraine. I'm going to read what you put on the board. Amen, amen, I say unto you, he that believeth in me has everlasting life. Verse 48. I, Jesus is talking, I am the bread of life. Okay, let's go on. Your fathers did eat manna in the desert, and they are dead. So we don't need manna now because we will die. What we need is the bread that is going to sustain us continually. All right, let's go to 50. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that if any man eat of it, he may not die. Let's go on. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Now, brethren, we don't need the manna in the ark. We have the bread that we can eat every day and continue living. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. So, Sister Joyce, if you have Jesus in you, you have continual provision. In fact, Jesus himself says in the book of, in chapter 6, do not worry what you will eat tomorrow or what you will put on. Look at the birds of the air. This is really true, that if God walks with you, if you allow Jesus to walk by your side, if you allow Jesus to hold your hand and walk with you, if Jesus is your companion, your friend, there is no way you're going to lack, because he's the bread of life. And he says, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give you is my flesh. Eternal life. So anytime we are having the Lord's table here, eat that bread properly. Because it is the bread of life. It is a symbol that shows that Jesus is the ever-present God. Anytime. Anywhere. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. The second thing that was inside the Ark of the Covenant was the rod of Aaron. Let me show you what happened. Let me just show you. Let's go to the book of Numbers chapter 17. Numbers chapter 17. We are looking at that rod. The other rods, the rods were like this. Actually, the rod is like this. It's like this thing. Wooden, like this. This is what happened. Let's see how that rod was able to have flowers like that. In chapter 17 of the book of Numbers. Numbers 17. Verse 1. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and take of them rods, one of each father's house, of all their princes according to their father's house, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon the rod. So Moses was told, from every tribe of Israel, there are 12 tribes, take a rod like this one, 12 of them, and on each write the name of the person of the tribe, or write the name of the person who is going to carry that rod. Okay, let's go on. And thou shalt write Aaron's name. Now, you will write Aaron's name. Now, Aaron was the priest that God was using on behalf of Moses. Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, For there shall be one rod for each head of their father's houses. So Aaron, anasimama na ile fimbo ya Levi. All right. And thou shalt lay them up in the tent of the meeting before the testimony where I meet with you. You'll put them in front in the tabernacle. And it shall come to pass that the rod of the man whom I shall choose. Now God is choosing the person that he wants out of the 12. The person I'll choose shall burn. That means will burn, and it will make, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against you. All right. Verse number 8. Let's go to verse number 8. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses went into the tent of the testimony, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and put forth buds and produced blossoms and bear ripe out. Mavitu zangu. Out of a dry rod like this. When it was laid down at the tent of the meeting, where God's presence is, Aaron's from this one, it budded, put forth buds. Yani ni kama ina. And then produced blossoms, maua. And then it bear ripe upon a beat. Ripe almonds. Brethren, let me tell you today. When God's presence is in your house, when you allow God's, your house to become a sanctuary of God, when you do what Pastor said here, that you can make your house to be an altar. If you make your home to be a place where God's presence is. If you make Jesus to be the head of your home. If you allow the presence of God to hover around your house. And then, people will come to your house and say, what is going on here? Do you know what? You can even make the place of work where you are sitting, where you are working. If you are a nurse, if you are a person like me, a dispatcher, if you are a driver, if you are anything, wherever you work, whether you are in the office, in the bank, you can make that desk to become the place where the presence of God is felt. Mtu anakuja customer anashangaa ni nini inaendelea. Because you can feel a difference. Look here, let me tell you something. When I was employed, the place where I work, almost everybody smokes cigarettes. Not cigarettes, cigars. I saw very big cigarettes. I've never seen those. Yani mbaka inavunjwa hivi. Inavutwa na inaumwa inakula. And it is very, very cold. I stayed in that place for a year. But it didn't take even 6 months. Mtu akikuja na sigara yake anazima nje. When it comes to the place where I am, anazima sigara. I never told them to do that. But I prayed from the first day. I don't want to. Yani, I started coughing. When I smelled that, my sister, I could cough. I could go out and cough. I did not talk to anybody. I said, God, I pray that your presence can be in this place. Let these people fear. From that day to today. They come with their cigars. They have to put them outside there and then pick them when they go away. Nikajua hapa sasa ni kanisa.
imekuwa kanisa tu, si mbaya. It's a church. Brethren, when we invoke, when we invoke the word of the Lord in anywhere you are, it does not matter where. There used to be a friend of mine in Kenya. He's a guy who loves God so much that you can even sense that when he's around, you just want to be around that place. His name was Joshua Carrot. They used to work with Julius Mwangi. When the guy gets into his car, the moment he starts his car, he's starting to worship with the car. Jamana weka magia, I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory to Jesus. And you know, he starts to meditate on the word of God, and he's driving at 100 kilometers per hour. One time he said he met with a trailer with his wife. The wife just screamed because they came head on with the truck. Yani it's in Kenya, hakuna hii mambo ya one way, the two way. It just came like this. The wife just saw they are gone. And she cried, what? And then the next thing, they're on the road. Man. Daddy, nobody knows how the car moves from this side to this side.
And he said, because the presence of God, when the presence of God is in your life, he will even remove you from dangers. Do you know there are many times you could have been involved in an accident and you didn't die. Yeah, I remember one time I was traveling from Nairobi and hii ilikuwa ni kukuja tu kuteremka huko mlima ya William. But we never got there. Just a tree ilituzuia tu, yani tukalala tu kwa miti. Ilikuwa ni kukwenda kabisa. Sema kwa heri. But God's presence can cause things to happen. And you know what? I discovered that the rod was intended to be a guide to the children of Israel. This rod that was given, even today, when you see those long, they were for shepherds to guide the flock as they continue to walk. Aaron could lift up the staff, and everybody is following Aaron. Everybody is following Aaron. It was a guide. It was a thing to guide and to direct the children of Israel, and to show them. The right way. He was this Aaron's rod was special. It was not like any other rod. It had a symbol of God in it, and it had a special anointing to guide the children of Israel. And so long as they followed that rod, they could never get lost on the way. Do you know we don't need that rod today? Let me show you. Let's go to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 6. Chapter 14. Gospel of John. Atuitaji hiyo fimbo sahi. Verse 15. Chapter 14 and verse 15. Can you give us that, Lorraine? Chapter 14 of the book of John to verse 15. Okay. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever. Let's continue. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it beheld him not, neither knows him, ye know him, for he abides with you, and you shall be in you. Then let's go to chapter 16. Chapter 16 of the book of John. Chapter 16, the book of John. Chapter 16, the book of John. Yes. Chapter 16 and verse 13. Chapter 16 and verse 13. Now look at this. I told you this rod of Aaron was to guide the children of Israel in every way they went. But now we don't need the rod because we have the rod. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you. He shall guide guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear shall speak, and he shall declare unto you that are to come. The Holy Spirit is our guide. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when Jesus went to heaven, he did not leave us as orphans. He gave us the Holy Spirit to be our guide. Now, our rod of Aaron is the Holy Spirit. Oh. Yani tumependo aje. Yani unapewa tena, unapewa the bread of life. Dio huyo Yesu, life. Unarudi unapewa guide. Dio huyo Holy Spirit. You are well taken care of. The third thing that was in the box as I come to the end were the two tablets of the covenant that God gave to the Israelites. Those covenants were agreements that God did with the children of Israel. He told them, if you do this, I'll do this. If you follow my commandments, I'll bless you. In fact, if you read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says, if you shall obey my voice, if you shall listen to me, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. I like when I overtake vehicles on these highways. Squeeze in and aqua highway, see mbaya. Become zuri. But when a car is moving at 60 or moving at 50 and I'm supposed to be going at 70, because it's delayed. I discovered here, when you go too slow, you are causing a lot of problems here. That you are moving too slow because you don't want to spoil it. You don't want to get problems. No. You go according to the speed limit. If it is 40, go 40. Don't go that. And don't go 50. Go 40. So if you are going, if the speed limit is 70 and you are going 40, you are causing problems on the way. But now, I love this, because the Bible tells me that the Holy Spirit is my guide. He shows me the way. He gives me my speed limit. He shows me where to go. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He shows me when I'm wrong. You know, the Holy Spirit is so good. Hakuna mtu hapa dunia hii anafanya dhambi bila kuhukumiwa na Roho Mtakatifu. Don't tell me, even if you are a sinner, ile mbaya sana, Greek, the Holy Spirit is always convicting you. This is the wrong thing to do. Now, if you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit is always there to correct you, to guide you, to help you, to lead you in paths of righteousness, to lead you in the right way. He will always minister to you. What a great thing that God has done. He has given us the Holy Spirit. Now he has given us the covenant, where we can stand firm and say, this is what God has promised me. You know, we don't need those tablets now. The Old Testament and the New Testament. By the way, do you know what a testament is? Testament is a will. Will. It is a covenant. It is God's agreement with us. In this book is contained the will of God for you and for me. You know, I didn't know what a will is, Pastor, until my father died. When my father passed on, we had a time of mourning and for a year or two. And we met as family. Now what are we going to do? My father had some estate. He had a shamba. He had some estates. He had some businesses. He had some money in the bank. He had some shares in the bank. In some of these shareholding companies. It reached a time now we are supposed to divide. Hii mavitu. Do you know when somebody's dad passes on and he has a lot of wealth, that is when you will know the true colors of your brothers and your sisters.
You don't know your brothers and sisters. You don't know them one little bit until when your dad passes on and there is some inheritance to be taken. You will see the true colors of me. Now, we said, what are we going to do? Then we said, okay, my dad never went to school, but he kept files and notebooks, and he had a box which he keeps his things, be to your business, whatever he does, he puts in that box. So we said, we are going to start by opening that box. Your box, you know, all of us are there, everybody is very sensitive. We started with the, we opened the box. When we opened the box like this, there were books arranged, black books. Then there were files of his businesses. There were even letters and title deeds of his shamba, the title deed of his plot. The museum was so organized, it's like he went to school and he never went to school. Whoever taught him, I don't know. You know what we started with? It's not the titles. We started with the books. Hiyo ni ya business ile asubuhi. Hiyo ni ya business ile walikuwa nayo huko upande wa Nyeri. And then below those books, we opened a small notebook, almost this size. It was written on top. My own will for my own property. We opened that book. My friend, the mzee had put every item. This chamber is going to be divided into four. It is going to be given to son 1, 2, 3, 4 plus daughter 5. The plot. This plot is going to so and so. The small shamba in Subuki is going to so and so. The will had already been written. No question. There was no war. The will had been written. The testament had been written. Mimi nilikuwa nimetoa shamba na plot. And the plot which I was given, I never thought my father could ever think of me getting it. Then I knew, oh, Kumbe, my dad loved me so much like that. I didn't know. You know where you are given? In a prime place. Naniwewe. That's what I saw in the will of my father. Let me tell you today, all your inheritance is in this place. Everything that you can own in this world is contained in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So aren't we so blessed to have Jesus as our bread of life? To have the Holy Spirit as our guide on a daily basis. And to have the Word of God as our testament. Are we not lucky to know that God's presence goes with us on a daily basis? And we are blessed of the Lord. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you this morning. We adore you and we worship you because just like your presence went with the children of Israel through the symbol of the Ark of the Covenant, and the symbols that were included in that box were the bread of manna. Yet you have told us that our fathers ate manna and died. But you are the bread of life, the living bread. We only need you, Jesus, to walk in victory. The rod of Aaron that budded, the rod that symbolized your very, very, very life in the Holy Spirit. The guide, the teacher, the advocate, the comforter, the help. Holy Spirit, thank you because you are there for us today. We can call upon you
to guide us and to show us the way. You even go ahead and to help us, even convict us of sin and righteousness, and show us the path which we should follow. Help us to listen to your voice on a daily basis. Oh Lord, thank you for giving us your word. Your word. The Bible says that the entrance of your word, it gives light. That your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Thank you for giving us the Old Testament and the New Testament on which we can hold on to and know you are a covenant God. You have covenanted yourself with us, and that we are the very inheritance of all the possessions that you have given us. We belong to you, and you have given us the inheritance here on earth and even in heaven, that we now have eternal life, that we have all we need in this world, that you are Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord God who is with us. Help us that, Lord, we may identify and know that your presence is very, very much with us as we walk in this life. Thank you, Jesus. Even as we come to an end of this service, you could be here this morning and you feel like, just like we noticed that the presence of God was in this place this morning, you want the Lord to help you. You want the Lord even to meet a need that you have right now. I believe the presence of God is here right now. He is there. He is with us. Jesus, the bread of life, is here. He can provide for what you need. Maybe you need some guidance pertaining to your family, pertaining to your members of the family, pertaining to your children. You need guidance even in your place of work. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. You need to know your inheritance. The word of God is here with us. We can read it. We can meditate on it. And God is going to reveal to us our destiny and what is our inheritance. I want to pray with you right now. I don't know what need you have, but God knows. And just lift up your right hand as we pray right now. You have a need that you want to bring to the Lord. Thank you for those hands. Everlasting Father, in the name of Jesus, you are the one who knows what we need. But you are reminding us that your presence is with us this morning. That Jesus, you are our bread of life. We don't lack any good thing. Holy Spirit, you are our guide. You are our comforter. You are our helper. You are our real friend. And you are very present even right now in our families, in our place of work. Wherever we go, you are with us. Help us always to desire your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, because of your word. Your word is spirit. Your word is living and active. Your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. Your word is food for us. It is spiritual nourishment for us. Your word establishes us as a position of God's children. And we want to thank you for the promises that you have granted to us. May these promises come to your children. Lord, you know the need of every person that has raised up his hand or her hand. May you meet our needs according to your riches in glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.